Beautiful, wonderful. Praise the Lord. Okay. Today we're going to look at three G's: gluttony, gossip, and taking the name of the Lord in vain. And none of them may seem very important to you, but I want to tell you they're little sins that almost all of us get into, and it's the little sins that get us into the most trouble. So I'm going to read to you Matthew chapter 5, verse 21. If you'll stand, we'll honor God. If you can't stand, that's okay. You've heard that it was said to the people long ago, "You shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who's angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, 'Raca,' is answerable to the court. And anyone who says, 'You fool,' will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you're offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them, then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who's taking you to court. Do it while you're still together on the way, or your adversary may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you'll not get out until you've paid the last penny. You've heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart." Father, as we study your word today, Lord, show us these small sins that we all commit, that we all allow into our lives, are destroying our vine. Father, bless us. Help us to have the courage to stand strong for your glory. And Father, we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Let me ask before I get going, how many of you went to a football game on Friday night? Me too. I was over at Chestnut, and I don't think I saw any of you. I saw Jeremy over there. But it was a rainy, rainy night. It was cold. Do you know how many of the football players gave up because it was rainy and cold? Not a one. Do you know how many cheerleaders quit cheering because it was rainy and cold? Not a one. Folks, when we believe something strongly, we believe in something strongly, it'll keep us going when other people would just walk away. When I got there, I had to park at the junior high because there was not a parking space any place around the high school. So I had my umbrella, praise the Lord. I wasn't like one of the players, had to go in the rain all night. But I walked over from the junior high, and when I got there, like I said, that parking lot was full. At halftime, when you went out in the parking lot, it was half empty. Because why? Because the fans weren't into it like the players and the cheerleaders were. How into it are you with God? How determined are you that you're going to live a life that's pleasing to your God? As we go in there, some major issues that are facing our nation today, and they are literally destroying the foundations of our nation. It's not in the notes, but I think it's some 1823, I can't remember. But anyhow, it's 11:3. That's what it is, Psalm 11:3. When the foundations are being destroyed, what can the righteous do? And it's a good question, but it's not the question we're going to answer today, because instead of focusing on the major issues of our day, we're going to focus on some things that Christians do that affect your everyday life. Little things that most people don't think there's anything important about, but they're important to our God. In the Song of Songs, chapter 2, verse 15, it says, "Catch for us the foxes, the little foxes that ruin the vineyards, our vineyards that are in bloom." Solomon says, do you know what ruins the vineyard? What ruins the vine? It's not the big foxes. Because the big foxes, when they want to get into the grapevine area, they jump on the wall, they jump over the wall, they go out to the grapes, and they just eat the good grapes. And I know you're saying, Foxes eat grapes, yes, foxes eat grapes, believe it or not. But they just eat them and they jump back on the wall and they're gone. But the little foxes are the ones that destroy the vine. The little foxes can't jump on the wall. So instead of jumping on the wall, they dig under the wall. When they get over to the grapevines, they're not tall enough to reach the grapes. So instead of just eating the grapes, they start eating the vine. They eat the roots, they eat the vine, and eventually that plant will fall over flat. And then they get to eat the grapes. So you see, sometimes in our life, it's those little things that affect us so drastically. Things that we just think, well, they don't really matter that much. They're not really all that important. It's a small thing. And yes, I know God's maybe not exactly pleased, but it's just a small thing. And after all, everybody does it. And you would be right. Everybody does it, but not everybody practices it. Some people from time to time will slip into a couple of these sins, and I'm going to give you a couple examples about myself, because I've slipped into a couple of these just in the last week. And I want to explain to you, when you slip into these sins, what do you do? Do you just say, it's no big thing, it won't affect me? Or do you confess it as sin and repent of it and get your life right? Because those little things that are allowed into our lives become huge things that destroy our own growth, destroy the fruit of the Spirit. You see, Satan does not want you walking in love and peace and joy. Satan wants you to start walking in doubt and disobedience, because that way you don't have the fruit of the Spirit to affect other people's lives. And so I want to read to you Matthew chapter 5, verse 21, and this is our Lord Jesus speaking. He says, "You've heard that it was said to the people long ago, 'You shall not murder,' and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who's angry with a brother or sister," let me stop right there and ask a question. Is there anybody right now in your life that you're angry with? I don't care if it's your boss, your neighbor, your friend, your husband, your wife, your children, your parents. If there's somebody you're angry with, this is something you need to look at right now. I tell you that anyone who's angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, raka, and that word raka is an Aramaic word, and it means you're useless. Anyone who says to a brother or sister, raka, is answerable to the court. And anyone who says you fool will be in danger of the fire of hell. We have to come back to this idea. As Christians, we believe that adultery or fornication, living with a gal or a man without marriage, that's just an awful thing. But looking at a Playboy magazine, looking at TV shows that excite your emotions sexually, that's not a big thing. That's nothing. What does Jesus say about it? He says, if you look at a woman lustfully, this is one that hit me last week. I was going golfing with Norm. Brother Norm was a little, not late getting there, I was a little early. But as I was there early, sitting in my van, finishing up my paperwork for work, because I went from work to golf, up comes a cart with two young girls, a golf cart, and they get out, they're going to put their clubs in the cart. Well, the one girl gets out, and she's got a real short black dress that just barely covers everything. I mean, just barely. And then she leans in to get the bag out, and all at once, guess what? Nothing's covered. And she's got one of those bikini-type G-strap, whatever they call them, where there's nothing but butt hanging out. Instantly, I didn't look at her as a sister. She was a good-looking young gal. Instantly, I thought wrongly. So what did I do? I had two choices. I could sit there and look, or I could get out and run behind the truck and get my clubs out, which I did. I want to tell you, I had to confess, it was not me looking at her as a sister. The Bible says you look at younger women as sisters, older women as mothers, and I don't know any sane person that's going to want to take their sister or their mother sexually. But I didn't look at her as a sister. I looked at her, whoa. And I had to say, wait a minute, that is not the right thing. So you can either flee like Joseph did and like I did, or you can stay in it. When you come across a movie that you're watching on your television, and it's a good movie, you're really getting into it, and all at once they show a woman that's half-dressed, and your mind goes the wrong way, what do you do? You've got to get out of there. It's going to lead you in a wrong direction. Jesus said a little lust is a big thing to him. When I first got saved, I was into pornography big time before I got saved. I talked to my brother about it after I got saved, who was the deacon in our old church. He says, oh, looking never bothers a thing. Well, folks, guess what? Jesus said exactly the opposite. That's a big thing with God. It's those little things that seem so little to us that are so big to God, because what? It's a heart thing. It's what am I doing in my heart? A young seminarian went to his teacher one time in seminary, and he said, Professor, when are these thoughts, these sexual thoughts, going to get out of my life? And the old seminarian teacher was 80 plus years old, and he stopped and thought in a minute, and he said, I don't know, because they hadn't gone out of his heart yet. Do you understand that these little things are going to be with us all the days of our life? Seem small, but they're not. The three G's. Have you ever heard this name, Evagrius Ponticus? And maybe you haven't, but if you had lived around 383 AD, he would have been a household name like Billy Graham is today. He, Evagrius, was a Christian monk. He lived in a monastery in Jerusalem in 399, and in his time he wrote something called the Seven Deadly Sins. And for Catholic friends who may be among us, he referred to the seven cardinal sins. So what are those seven deadly sins? Number one was wrath. Number two was envy. Number three was gluttony. Number four was lust. Number five is greed. Number six is sloth. And number seven is pride. So we're going to start today with our three G's on number three in our list of seven deadly sins, and it's gluttony. Someone sent their pastor a note saying, why don't you preachers ever preach about things that Christians are actively doing? Like gluttony. And the pastor thought to himself, well, that's a good question. Why don't? How many of you ever heard a sermon on gluttony? I've been a Christian now 53 years, I think, and I don't think I've ever heard a sermon on gluttony. And you may wonder, why is that? Why don't preachers preach on gluttony if it's such an important thing? And the Bible says it is very important. I can give you a couple reasons why they don't. Number one, every pastor I know loves food. We just do. Food is a wonderful thing. God made a wonderful creation when he made food. And most pastors from time to time, this is my second confession today. Yesterday morning, I had oatmeal for breakfast. Usually I have a lot more than oatmeal, but I just had oatmeal. And it was a busy day, and so I never stopped for lunch. I was over helping Joel and Tina at their house, and we made some good progress, and it was wonderful. But at the end of the day, man, I was getting pretty hungry. Well, Tina had made up a wonderful pot pie, chicken pot pie. We get it at Sam's, and she baked it up, and she had some little croissants, and oh, man, were they good. And guess what? I gave vent to a little gluttony. I ate way too much. I didn't sleep well last night because I got too hot because, of course, your body's trying to take in all that stuff. And gluttony was true for me. For many of you, Thanksgiving is a time of gluttony. It's a time that you're already thinking about the food and all the wonderful stuff you're going to have. How do you feel after you eat all that turkey and those couple pieces of pie and those mashed potatoes and gravy and the buns? I mean, you just feel, oh, I just want to rest. I know the lions are coming on, but I simply couldn't care less. I just want to rest. Gluttony is an important, important sin. So when we talk about food, food is good. When we talk about family, family is good. When we talk about work, work is good. But when any of those things take the place of God in your life, When your number one goal is food, 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 folks, you've got a problem. Our Lord tells us, don't even hang out with people that are like that. Because some people, as I mentioned, lust doesn't normally hit me all the time, but once in a while, yes. But people who are constant gluttons, who are constantly, all they think about is food. When's dinner? When's lunch? When's the next time we're going out? What's going on? Preparation for food, all that. Folks, there's a problem there. When I gaze into God's eyes who created me and gave me a love for food, I realize he also expects me to keep all my fleshly desires under his control. The Bible says whether we eat or drink or sleep, it's all to be done for the glory of our God. Let me ask, when's the last time you ate that you said, Lord, the amount I'm going to eat is for your glory? What I'm going to eat is for your glory. So God gave us some instructions on gluttony. In Proverbs 23, verse 20, do not join with those who drink too much wine or gorge themselves on meat. God's warning. We got the instruction, now the warning. Proverbs 23, verse 21. For drunkards and gluttons become poor, and drowsiness clothes them in rags. God tells us our sins today is going to lead to our reality tomorrow. You're sowing seeds every single day. And those seeds are going to come to fruition. Be careful what you're sowing. In the area of eating, if you're constantly eating way more than your body can handle, it's going to lead to all kinds of health problems. We need to be careful with this thing. Food is good, but it's never to take the place of God in our lives. And so number one is gluttony. Be careful with it. It's a small sin. It doesn't seem like it's even important at all, but it's important to God. We do not want food taking the place of our relationship with our God. Food can never satisfy you. You eat dinner, I don't care how much you eat, within a day, you're going to be hungry again and again. And so we need to, through the Spirit, control how much we eat. The second sin I want to talk about is one that almost everybody does from time to time. I can't think when the last time I did it, but I know I've done it, and that's gossip. Since becoming an adult, I've learned there are several things that I was taught as a child that are not true. I was taught as a child that after you eat your dinner, you have to wait 30 minutes before you swim, or you're going to get cramps. I hope you know that's not true. You can eat dinner, you can jump right in the water, you're not any more likely to get cramps than you ever were before. If you swallow a watermelon seed, and I was told this as a boy, if you swallow a watermelon seed, it'll grow in your tummy. Not a chance. It isn't going to happen. Sitting too close to the TV will make you what? It'll blind you. No, it won't. And the last one, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Folks, that's absolutely not true. Words can hurt you worse than any stick or stone. We need to be careful with that one because Proverbs 18:21 says the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. When you have little children and you say to them, you are worthless, you'll never amount to a thing, do you realize you've planted a seed in their heart and life? On the other hand, if you tell that child, child, you are a wonderful child. You may not be quite so good at this, but we're going to find something pretty quick here that you're just wonderful at. I've got a lot of hope for you. Folks, it makes such a difference. Our words are powerful, and we need to understand that we have a small muscle in our mouth, our tongue. And for the average man, it's only 70 grams. That's 2.74 ounces. That's an eighth of a pound. It's almost nothing. It's so small. For a woman, it's only 60 grams, about 2.1 ounces. But there's power in the tongue. I brought these up here M&Ms, and there's some out in the basket later. Don't worry about it. But this is less than 2 ounces. So your tongue averages just about how much this weighs. It isn't very big, but it's very, very powerful. In Proverbs 16:28, it says a perverse person stirs up conflict, and a gossip separates close friends. That verse was originally written in the Hebrew language in a poetic form, which means that there is a parallel interpretation of those words. And the parallel we can draw from it to get a better understanding of what it really means, in that verse, one of the parallel words for gossip is perverse. Do you understand that God created your tongue to build others up, not tear others down? To speak good of other people, never to speak negative of another person? Folks, there are very rare occasions where you ever have to say something about somebody that they would not want you to say. If somebody's contemplating suicide, guess what? You've got to step in. You've got to say something. You've got to do something. But if somebody's doing anything less than that, you really don't have to step in. If somebody says, I've got a gun and I'm going to the school to shoot people, you've got to step in. But if somebody says, I'm so angry I could just kill somebody, you don't have to step into that. Pray for them, but don't gossip. Don't tell everybody what's going on. Gossiping is never life-giving. And our tongues, if they are not perverse, are always to be bringing life, the life of God, to others. Gossip doesn't bring unity, ever. It brings division. And we're not to be those that divide others from the Lord. Gossip attacks trust. They told you something in confidence. They want you to do what? Keep it in confidence. This is for you to pray about for me. I don't want everybody to know, or I would have called everybody. I'm calling you. Folks, that's something you need to keep to yourself. God's instruction regarding gossip. In Proverbs 20, verse 19, a gossip betrays a confidence. So avoid anyone who talks too much. How do you know if you're around somebody that's talking too much? Is it a matter of how many words they say? It's not. It's a matter that they just broke a confidence that you know that somebody told them about themselves, and now they're telling you. Why does God say to avoid that person? Because guess who she's going to talk about or he's going to talk about when they're not with you? They're going to tell everything about you. Folks, if you understand that, you realize why the Lord says to avoid those people. There are some people that cannot keep their mouth shut. They love to be a bearer of bad tales. They love to bring bad news about somebody because for some perverse reason, they think that makes them look better. God says avoid them. The Bible would describe that kind of talk as toxic. It never brings healing. It never brings unity. It never brings peace. And so we avoid those people. Gossip is primarily seen in the scriptures as betraying a confidence. And so you need to be very careful. If somebody tells you, this is just between me and you, you better guard your tongue. Because your tongue, your flesh, wants to repeat it. The spirit says no. The flesh says yes. Sometimes we do this covertly in our churches by saying, this is just between me and you, and it's just for prayer. But this is what I heard about so-and-so. Folks, that's still gossip. If that person did not want you to tell anybody else, they want your prayers. They don't want anybody else knowing. And if you repeat it to anybody else, even in a spiritual tone of prayer, that, my friends, is sin. Gossip is sin. So when the Lord leads you to pray for someone, do indeed pray for them. But if God knows, who else needs to know? And again, it's only in extreme emergencies that anybody else needs to know. and it's usually not your girlfriend or your boyfriend that needs to know. It's somebody in authority that can step in and stop a situation. Other than that, the old saying my mother used to say, and it's still true today, if you can't say anything good, don't say anything at all. We need to guard our tongue. It's the restless evil. In the book of Proverbs, he uses two different Hebrew words to cover the one English word that we have as gossip. And that's why it's so important for you to understand every time you see the word love, there are four different words in the Hebrew and Greek that describe love. There's two different words for gossip. One is rakil, the informer or the slanderer. Those are people who love being first to know so that they can be the first to tell. Oh, that person loves it when they get a juicy one. In Proverbs 11, verse 13, this is the word rakil. A gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy person keeps a secret. That word for gossip there is rakil. The other word that's used is nigen, and it talks about the whisperer or the talebearer. Those are people who have information about someone else, usually damaging information and destructive information, and they can't wait to tell you. Proverbs 18:8 tells us about that person. The words of a gossip are like choice morsels, going down to the inmost parts. Folks, when you hear a word of gossip, your flesh desires to hear all the bad you can hear. Why do you think the news that you hear on TV is 99.9% bad news? When's the last time you heard some really good news on the news report? They don't cover it because bad news sells. Good news, it doesn't get people to pay attention. But man, when you can give them a juicy one on what President Biden said, and oh, it was just outlandish. Folks, everybody's going to tune in because that's the flesh. I can't advise you enough, be careful where you get your news, because there's so much garbage out there, it's hard to tell what's true and what's not true. In Proverbs 26, verse 20, again, the word nigrain. Without wood, a fire goes out. Without gossip, a quarrel dies down. Somebody constantly telling a woman what her husband is doing. Folks, you need to be careful with that. She'll find out sooner or later. You don't have to be a talebearer. You can be a prayer warrior without telling. You really need to pray for wisdom. When there is a time you should tell. But you need to pray for wisdom for that, because you can become a talebearer without even knowing that you're doing it. And the last one is Proverbs 26, verse 22. The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to the inmost parts. So extremely important we understand this. I'm going to stop right here. We're going to finish up tonight on gossip, and then we're going to talk about taking the Lord's name in vain. I can guarantee you, most people in this room take the Lord's name in vain without even knowing it, without even thinking about it. We need to be careful with that. The Lord says he will not hold innocent anyone that takes his name in vain. There are all kinds of things going on today that people are using his name, not even realizing what they're saying. But we'll talk about that tonight. We're going to sing.